How do we get from a birthday boy with a lovely bookend to a Belgian right back who started as a striker?
Hello and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers, where we've got a birthday special. It's officially, Josh, the end of the defunct series.
And see you later, defunctness. Four of them.
What was it? Tournaments, teams, stadiums, players.
Yeah. Textbook, everybody knows it.
Everyone's favourite quadrology. There's a word. Is that a word? Quadrology?
Quadrilogy, I can riddle.
What, quadrilogy?
Yeah, I'm going for quadrilogy.
I prefer quadrology, to be honest, so I'm sticking with that.
Both have got a good ring to it, yeah.
Although it does feel like it was a trilogy, and then someone went to do, well, we can make one more and get loads of money, so defunct players, is that a thing? Like, yeah.
Early to retirees, and milked it. Yeah, yeah. It was earning the big bucks. We're like, yeah, let's get some of that in there. Yeah.
But we are, as is sort of becoming a little bit of a tradition in Wikipedia Wanderers, having a birthday special for a couple of players that have birthdays on the day of episode release, which is the 12th of September. And I'll go first because my player's up first. Well, we're starting. And it is a birthday boy with a lovely bookend, which is Yotu Nagatomo, if you remember him.
Inter Milan fullback.
Inter Milan fullback. Spot on. Inter Milan fullback. Fullback, yeah. Wasn't his first club in Italy, though, as we'll get into in just a second.
Okay.
But is currently playing at FC Tokyo and started his career at FC Tokyo. And what really confused me is that he's 36 today. He's 36 today when this goes out, which makes him our age. And I assumed he was a lot older than us.
Yep, like, agreed.
When I was looking him up and he was still playing, I thought, wow, he's got to be playing some really turd football at the age of like 40. But no, he's in the Japanese Premier League division and he's 36. So, fair play to him. But he's had quite a stellar career that people don't really care about, according to Wikipedia, other than Inter Milan, I would say.
If you look at word count by club, yeah.
Exactly. That's my point, exactly. And it's like, so started at FC Tokyo after playing at a high school and then a university, he was signed from a university team where he was actually studying at the time, joined FC Tokyo, 72 appearances, 5 goals, which is quite a good number of goals from fullback. He's always been a fullback as well. There was no change of position. He went on loan to Cesena in Italy from FC Tokyo. Which,
I didn't realise I had a link up, if I'm honest.
In itself is a strange move, right? Not many people go to Italy on loan from Japan. But he did. They were newly promoted into Serie A and he went there played the first half of the season as their starting left back. And then moved to Italy permanently and gave a speech to 25,000 supporters just after a match involving FC Tokyo and Vissel Kobe. Before he moved to Italy, in Japan, he sort of gave a farewell speech to 25,000 people and then was signed permanently. After being signed on a permanent deal, Nagatomo was sold to Inter. That's what it says.
One of the old Italian switcheroos.
But that's not technically true. Because if you read the first line of his Inter stint, due to his impressive performances for both Cesena and Japan in the 2011 Asian Cup, he was fully signed by Cesena in January. Before making a league appearance, he was sent straight out on loan to Inter Milan in exchange for David Santon. Remember him? Of Newcastle fame?
Yes, I do.
Who also went on loan, and therefore Nagatomo became the first East Asian player to sign for Internazionale, which is a nice little stint for him. He went on, had a pretty good career at Inter Milan. 170 appearances, 9 goals over seven seasons. Because for the last season, he went on loan to Galatasaray, where he played 15 times and didn't score a goal. But that encouraged Galatasaray to sign him. He was there for 2 years, 32 appearances, 2 goals. Marseille then picked him up on a free transfer, 25 appearances, 0 goals, and then he moved back to FC Tokyo, where since last year he's made 10 appearances and not scored in the league. So it's probably coming to the end of his playing career. But he is still playing. He is a current player. If we very quickly, we'll go back to internationals and stuff in a minute, but quickly down to his honours. We have a J League Cup for FC Tokyo in 2009, Coppa Italia with Inter Milan, the Super League with Galatasaray twice back to back, 2017-18 and 18-19, the Turkey Kupası, which is the Turkish Cup, 2018-19, and the Super Cup of Turkey as well, 2019. So a pretty successful stint in Galatasaray. He won the Asia Cup with Japan in 2011 and was a runner-up in 2019. And then individually, he's got the J-League Best 11, 2009, AFC Asia International Player of the Year, 2013, AFC Asian Cup Team of the Tournament, 2019, and an AFC Opta All-Time World Cup 11, 2020.
Mm.
Which is a thing I didn't even know existed.
No.
So
I didn't realise how far-reaching Opta was.
No, but I like the idea of an Opta All-Time World 11 because it would be based purely around stats.
Hmm.
And I like that. I like that idea. Internationally, he scored, five goals. He's scored against Syria, Belgium, Hong Kong and Mongolia. So, you know, ticking off the big names. Internationals, he's been present in the Japanese team, which I think is quite impressive. Every single year since 2008.
Yeah, definitely drying up though, isn't it?
I mean, yeah.
2020 seems like a token gesture of the one cap. Maybe it was the international football was a bit sparse in that year, actually, I think.
But then he made a comeback.
Yeah.
8 appearances 2021, 5 appearances this year in 2022. 136 overall, 4 goals for the international team as we went through before. I mean, you like looking at stats and stuff. If you have a quick look at his club career.
He doesn't have an eye for goal, does he?
Weirdly,
he has that one season in 13-14 Serie A Inter where he scores 5 goals, which is a quarter of all of his goals. Even in the J League, there's 6 goals. He played for FC Tokyo in his first stint, so over 50% of his goals come in 4 seasons, and he's played for 14 seasons.
Yeah,
he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons, no goals scored. I know he's a fullback, but.
I think
you'd want to be chipping in here and there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I think if you look back to when he started his professional career, 2007, 2008, 2009, that is not the same era of fullback as we have nowadays.
It's true.
So I think he would be a more defensive sort of fullback.
He's also quite a diminutive fullback. We've probably got a really big difference between our fullback sizes here. We inadvertently both fullbacks.
Okay.
One left back, one right back. But we've got a 5'7" Nagatomo here. Muniz rocking 6'3".
That's too big for a fullback. Just put him a centre back.
That was Well, he started off as a striker, and then he's kind of been obviously probably wasn't prolific enough. His right foot just gets moved to the right wing, and then regresses to right wing back, then right back. Yeah, but that's what 8 inches between them.
Eight inches.
It's big.
I mean, you started with a sexual pun about a birthday boy with a bookend, and
you wrote it.
I did write that. But anyway, right, made his first appearance coming off the bench for Inter Milan, replacing who do you think he would replace if you're coming on as a fullback? You're correct, Wesley Snyder. No, Wesley Snyder, obviously.
Yeah.
Inter 1-5-3. And then he made a couple more substitute appearances, slowly making his way into the first team and actually became captain for a while of Inter Milan. He had a little brief stint as captain for Inter Milan, which is good. And then it's Italy, right? They love an odd transfer. They love weird ways of staging transfers. After the Serie A season was over, Inter made an agreement with Cesena of making Yoto's move permanent in a cash plus player exchange deal. Fine. Love a little player exchange deal. He was valued at 10.95 million. Part of the fee was paid by half of the registration rights of Luca Garitano of 700,000 euros and half of the rights of Luca Calderoli for 2.5 million euros. So
not only half a fee, half of the rights as well.
Yeah. Half of the rights of two players to pay off a third of the fee that they actually needed to pay Cesena. It's like, Italy needs to sort his transfers out. Like, absolute joke. But went, did pretty well, had a successful career, say, Galatasaray, and then it is there's lots of words that I'm not going to read word for word in Inter. Galatasaray get one sentence, Marseille get one sentence, and I sort of feel like there should be one sentence on a return to FC Tokyo. So,
well, if you think of that much, be a change you want to see in the world.
Yeah, we'll get an action down for that one. But he's played in three consecutive World Cups for Japan. He's played in three consecutive Asian Cups for Japan. He's played in a Confederations Cup. So he's been, you know, a very well-renowned Japanese footballer. And I would argue, you've already discussed the height difference. I think playing style is going to be different. And I think, well, how they're sort of interpreted in terms of international honours, I think will probably be quite different as well. So take us over to your man.
Well, you've been speaking about detail. This is the first time I've seen on a page. Just before we get into club career on his detail page, it says this section may contain an excessive amount of intricate detail that may interest only a particular audience.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Please help by spinning off or relocating any relevant information and removing excessive detail that may be against Wikipedia's inclusion policy. Oh. I mean, it's right. So I've read through the page, obviously. So we have Thomas Meunier, now aged 31 today, happy birthday. Born in Belgium, started off in Belgium. Didn't actually have the greatest start. He was really struggling to begin with. And he actually quit football. It's only his mum made him kind of like, oh, you know what? Keep going with it. Because he got released by Liège early on in his youth career. And his mum was like, no, carry on with it. And so he had a trial at Verton. A Belgian side I've not heard of, actually. Verton. And that's where it kind of it happened for him. And we've seen it a few times. So he started off with Verton, who were in the second division. It's already a league lower than the Pro League. But then we dropped down to the third division. We've seen it a few times with players we've looked at where they really make that kind of inroads at a lower level and then they get the opportunity to come back to the higher level. So Verton, first season, a few appearances. He gets five appearances, no goals. At this point, it doesn't go into full detail, but it says he's playing kind of striker, right winger. So we're expecting a few goals here. Dropped down to third division, 16 appearances, 5 goals in the league, and then kicks on almost kind of, you know, over one in three here. Third season with them, 28 appearances, 10 goals. Nice. So then he gets signed by Club Bruges, and Bruges moved quickly because they just missed out on a few players, including Jelly Van Dam in the transfer market. So they moved quickly, beating out opposition, you know, the big Belgian sides, you know, yeah, Anderlecht and your Lièges. And when I say too much detail, it's basically like it just talks about all the goals he scores, all the injuries he gets, and that's the kind of the two elements you'd say are kind of epitomise Meunier's career so far. He's good goal scoring, good attacking right back, but seems to struggle a bit to complete full seasons. He seems to get injured every kind of, you know, every winter comes along. He seems to maybe need some warm weather. He seems to get injured every time winter comes along and has a few months out. And then go, and they say, but he still managed to appear 40 times for them. But, you know, a long time at Bruges, still making a name for himself. So plays in the Pro League for 5 seasons with Bruges, you know, 30-odd appearances each season. So ends with 149 appearances, 14 goals. Chelsea come in for him, refused. But, you know, in the 16-17 season, so when he's 26, he moves to Paris Saint-Germain. And here, do you remember who he's playing back up to at Paris Saint-Germain, right back? Well, he's vying with... Because he was unsure about moving to PSG because of game time. He's playing against Serge Aurier.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And so, you can see he makes 22 league appearances. And then Aurier moves to Tottenham. And he's like, I'm going to get more chance now. Dani Alves arrives. And he actually plays less. So we then have 4 seasons at Paris Saint-Germain. And he actually lets his contract run down at that point and moves to where he is currently at with Borussia Dortmund. Signs for him on a free transfer. And again, not overly a lot of game time. 21 league appearances, 17 league appearances. A bit skewed, obviously. Bundesliga have fewer games than Liga, and has currently made 4 appearances this season. But so he goes through right wing back, right back, right winger. He's kind of that whole right, similar to Dani Alves. That kind of whole right side has kind of been dominated and initial time as a striker. And he talks about his growing up. Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, was his favoured player, his hero. He says, he evolves like me at the centre-forward position. I liked his style and his dribbling. Not quite sure what he means, evolves like me. Maybe Ronaldo changed his style of play with injuries and Munoz moved around the pitch a little bit. Not quite like you.
No. Well,
you're more like Jiz Hornkamp, I'd say. Do you remember Jiz Hornkamp?
Jiz Hornkamp, yeah.
One of the few people with right back and striker in their top right summary. Munoz just has the right back one. But for Belgium, we have obviously the youth career has gone through. He's played at youth setup, under 15s, under 21s. And for Belgium, it's kind of. Belgium haven't been blessed with fullbacks. So they have always had excellent centre-backs, you know, Kompany, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, even Van Buyten before that. But in their setup now, they haven't really been blessed with wing-backs, fullbacks. Munoz kind of been there through default and Carrasco on the other side. I think even Nasser Chadli's played there. But, you know, Munoz played and been part of the setup and been part of the Euros and scored in Euro 2020. Against Russia, scored in the World Cup against England. Must have blocked that out.
Yeah, don't remember that.
Well, I've got a vague memory. I kind of played through in the box and lashes one home, but no, I've must have put that out of my mind. But yeah, he scored a hat trick for Belgium. Yeah, in a 9-0 win over Gibraltar. So take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Hasn't scored against Northern Ireland, though, so he's yet to make it on the international stage fully. Honours, we have Club Bruges, he's won the league and a cup. Obviously, at PSG, won the league 3 seasons. Would it have been Toulouse have won it in that other time?
Yeah.
And then lots of other honours with Paris Saint-Germain, Coupe de France, Coupe de Ligue, Trophy de Champions, and Champions League runner-up in 1920. That to Bayern? That would have been to Bayern, I think.
Yes, I think it was to Bayern, wasn't it?
Yeah. Won the Cup with Dortmund and World Cup third place. And then also the Godfroid of Honour in 2016, which is unknown.
That goal against England, was that in the third place playoff? Where we lost to Croatia?
Where we lost to Belgium?
Yeah, sorry, we lost in the semi-final to Croatia, didn't we? And then would have gone to the third place playoff. But did we play them in the group stage as well?
Here we go. On the 14th of July 2018, Munier returned from suspension and scoring the opening goal of the match in Belgium's in a 2-0 victory against England in their third place playoff, his nation's best ever World Cup finish.
Yeah, which is why I've blanked that from my memory, because it's a third place playoff final, so I was probably blind.
It means as much as his hat-trick against Gibraltar.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Neither exist. So yeah.
Okay, so we have Thomas Munoz there. Thoughts?
It's interesting because you were saying how for Belgium he's sort of just been right back because they don't really have options. And like interestingly, it was at Club Bruges. There was just a little sentence there when it was like he played as a striker or a right winger, was transformed into a right back by head coaches.
Yeah.
Garrido, Lincolns and Prudhomme, which means they didn't have a right back for 3 managers.
Yeah, it almost seems like he keeps going, so right, everybody, put yourself in position. Strikers go there, and he keeps walking over to the strikers, but it's like, you're going to play right back again. And then a new manager comes in, I'm actually a striker. All right, we'll see. Why don't you play right back again? And he just kept trying it. Finally, I'm a right back. Oh.
Yeah, so, but it's a weird one. I don't know much about him before PSG, and even at PSG I remember him being touted as a good player. Dortmund, I sort of know about him. Belgium, I know a little bit about him. He was linked to Man United this transfer window, albeit I think quite sparsely. I don't think there was anything too accurate about it, but yeah,
he's good going forward. He really is. He's not the quickest. I suppose he's not quickest off the mark. He gets up because he's quite tall.
Yeah.
He's got a good long stride to him, and he's really nice in front of a goal. Actually, he does have that composure, and yeah, I think you're right. What you said before we even got to his page, too tall for a right back.
Yeah,
it's weird because obviously he's regressed from attacking position. You normally think if you've got a 6'3" right back, they'd have been a centre back.
Yeah,
and moved across. Whereas this is more of a seemingly almost target man, moved wide. because he's got some mobility, and then regress even further because he's not quite as good at attacking as others. So it's a strange one. I'm not sure you can find many other 6'3" fullbacks. Who's the biggest fullback in the Premier League currently? What are you going for?
Well, I would have said like two seasons ago it was Lewis Dunk at Brighton because he played left back.
Dan Burn
at Brighton. But he's not there anymore, and I don't know.
Including wing backs, Perisic is a bit of a
tank. Perisic is a tank, yeah. Perisic is a bit of a tank. It's tough, isn't it? Because you don't really have tall fullbacks, like not six foot three level. Like,
no, you're probably knocking on the 6 foot door.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Beyond that, no.
I would argue we're good heights for a fullback.
Yeah,
like.
In and around the 6 foot mark. Yeah. Not gonna be Tarik Lamptey'd, we're not gonna be pinpointed for our aerial weakness.
No.
But also we could come up if we come up against someone, there's chances they're gonna be bigger than us.
Yeah.
A centre forward may plonk themselves on us and go, all right, in the fullback here.
Give this a go. Yeah, I agree. Right, yeah, sorry, where do you think we're gonna get in? Where can we get into Thomas Meunier?
Where we obviously PSG is going to be one we can get in. We've got the Champions League final in 1920.
Yeah.
We've got Belgium, obviously. We've got the Euros and World Cup. Yeah. Wouldn't mind getting in through something Belgian league-wise.
I mean, that would be...
The Belgian Cup in 14-15, and we obviously know who competed in that. Surely it mentions it, actually.
Anderlecht.
Okay. So, and you know, a previous Anderlecht player, I wouldn't mind getting through a Belgian route rather than going PSG. It feels like it's a bit like, you know, playing with them on FIFA or something. It feels a bit cheaty.
Yeah, I'm thinking we can go in through either a Belgian player that we know or think may have played for maybe Anderlecht or one of these clubs as well that he's played for, or the Belgian national team somehow.
Belgian national team seems pretty easy because one of Nagatomo's four goals is against Belgium.
Well, we won't go straight there.
We won't, yeah. Let's not go straight there. Yeah.
So, right.
I mean, I am always interested because of the flavour of the Turkish league. There's always interesting players. So if we were to click on one of the Galatasaray honours, be it one of his Super Cups maybe, or... Is Super Cup? We have probably got two big sides in that. You could probably see some players there, and maybe a Belgian, knocking about.
I'm thinking, let's go for Yashito Endo, who is the only Japanese player to have more caps than Nagatomo.
Okay, and he's mentioned where
in the introduction paragraph, right at the top, with 136 caps as well as four goals. Nagatomo is Japan's second most capped player of all time, behind Yashito Endo.
Okay.
Because think to be... If you think about... If I went to you, name me another Japanese player.
Who are you naming? Hitoshi Nakata.
Nakata, right? Played in Europe.
Yeah.
I would say Kazuki Honda. Played in Europe.
Yeah.
If you've got the most caps, I think you've played in Europe.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel like Japanese players get a lot of caps. I don't know. I feel like I don't think he's going to play in England because I've never heard of him.
Well, let's have a look.
I'm happy to go there. It doesn't mean I'm not happy to go there.
Cause... Yeah, well, we're going. Yeah. Sodja.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I've made the decision.
Right. Yashito Endo.
Loves Japan.
Oh, of course he does. So now age 42, so I'm guessing not playing. No, he is. Wow.
He is still playing.
I tell you what, isn't there kind of called blue zones? Areas of where there's high aging population, but really healthy aging populations. There's certain areas of Italy, certain areas of Japan. I think Costa Rica as well, blue zones, I think.
Okay.
It does seem like Japanese just have this environment looking after themselves so well. You're playing for Jubilo Iwata. You've played six times already this season at your age 42. Because obviously King Kazu,
yes,
the oldest player currently, is... still playing, but yet, as they said, for a season in 98-99, hold on, 1998, he would have been, oh, it's at 18, yeah, okay, sorry. Yokohama Flugels, 16 appearances. Oh my God, I don't think I've ever seen this. 1999-2001 for Kyoto Purple Sanga, 53 appearances. 2001 to 2021, a 20-year career for Gamba Osaka. 607 appearances, 98 goals.
I love that. That is insane.
When you try and remember that, that's the highest. I think that's the highest amount of games I've seen for one club in one stint. And then at the tail end of his career, he was loaned to Jubilo Iwata, 50 appearances, and then made the move permanent this year. So yes, no appearances outside of Japan. Brilliant.
No, but he has scored quite a number of international goals.
He has. So we've got a list of who it's against. Who have we got?
Nigeria, Malaysia, Serbia and Montenegro, Vietnam, Thailand, Oman, Bahrain, South Korea, Denmark, Venezuela, Guatemala, Ghana, Costa Rica, Honduras and Palestine.
And the goal against Denmark was in the 2010 World Cup, just 12 years ago. So honours is quite big. So it was in the J-League Best 11 for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in a row. 2013 something happened, then won it for two more years. Oh, what happened in 2013? That's unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Still making 16 appearances for the national team in that year. Made 33 appearances in the league. I feel like they had a vendetta against him. Look at that consistency. This guy's not got the injuries, is he?
I was just thinking that. That's insane.
He has played double figures in league appearances every season, apart from this one, but that's still going. And he can score. 2009 was a good year.
That is actually, his stats are ridiculous. From 2001 to 2019, the minimum amount of games he played was 25 in the league.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is there a style of play? He is considered a cult hero among fans of Gamba Osaka, you reckon, and the Japanese national football team. It's because he has formidable passing ability, leadership and goal-scoring ability. He is also known for his excellent accuracy on free kick. Japanese love a free kick. That is something that must be a key focus of training because there's so many excellent Japanese free kick takers. And is revered as one of Japan's most creative midfielders, as well as one of the most talented. Japanese footballers and playmakers of his generation, despite only playing domestically in his home country. Don't we bloody know it? Think of all of those years he's played. And there is less written about his club career than Thomas Meunier has written about one season at PSG.
Yeah. So, right.
Get us out of this one, David.
I'm quite tempted, and you're not going to like it, Josh. No, I'm quite tempted to go to the Asian Footballer of the Year award.
Good. I thought you were going to go for a national team. I didn't want it.
No. Not that desperate yet.
J-League Best 11, click on that one.
No, well, the Best 11 or the Asian Footballer of the Year? Asian Footballer of the Year.
So we're going to have other countries be involved here, but they're always going to be Asian players.
Yeah.
J-League Best 11 may involve players of other nationalities. We do not need to stick in Asia. We need to move to Europe. Yeah,
all right, let's go J-League Best 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the J-League Best 11 is acknowledgement of the best 11 players in the J-League. Oh!
What a surprise!
Yeah. We have the award. We have basically the 11 players listed, started in 1993 and goes up to last season. And we have the list of players with multiple appearances, appearances by clubs, including their positions they picked it for. So, for example, Kashima Antlers have had 39 players in total, 19 defenders, 2 goalkeepers, 30 midfielders, 5 forwards. Appearances by country. Do we have any Belgians in that? No Belgians. And an anniversary team, which our Yoshito Endo appears in. He's also the recipient of most awards, 12 awards in total, as I picked out. Let's have a look who those defenders are in 2013 that spoiled our guy's run. 2013, we have only 3 defenders. Oh, can't they even rigged it? 3 defenders. Went for a front 3 for the first time ever. So I have Masato Morishige, Darisuke Nasu, and Yuji Nakazawa. Okay.
I can't imagine them.
It's midfielders. I'm looking at midfielders anyway. Sorry, I got completely confused there.
Oh, yeah?
Well, Endo's a midfielder. I was looking at defenders. Oh, I was on Nakatomo time.
Yeah.
And was looking at the defenders. Okay, so other nationalities is what I'm interested in. Obviously, we've touched on it before. There's a big Brazilian presence in Japan. And that is probably the second most yet. So, appearances by country, obviously, Japanese players, 252 times. The next most, 46 times by Brazilians. After that is 5 times by South Koreans. Brazilians love being in Japan.
Who's the most famous? 2021, Leandro Damião.
Oh, wow. Andres Iniesta's won it a couple of times.
Yeah. Joe. Remember? I struggled to say his name. Joe.
Yeah.
2018, he was there.
I mean, after that, it gets a little bit ropey.
It does get a little bit ropey after that. No one...
Well, you're looking and you go, 2003, is that an Emerson? You have common names there. Is that an Emerson we know or not?
1998, Dunga.
Oh, that's got to be the Dunga.
Yeah, Patrick Mboma, 1997 up front.
Oh, nice. Dragan Stojkovic, I think. Haven't we been on Patrick Mboma as a page, I feel?
We have been on Patrick Mboma.
Defender, German, Guido Buchwald.
No idea who that is.
No.
Well, Josh, get us out of this mess.
Okay, well, I'm intrigued by... Because I can only see Japanese goalkeepers, but the first non-Japanese goalkeeper was a Dutchman, Arno van Zwam.
Okay, in 2001.
But I probably want to go a bit more recent, actually, don't we? In the last kind of like 10 years, I'd say.
Okay.
Any Europeans in that time?
Iniesta. I think that's it.
Yes, I think you might be right. Okay, the next European before that?
Is...
Do you know Joshua Kennedy?
I was looking at Joshua Kennedy thinking, who the hell is Joshua Kennedy? Should we find out who Joshua Kennedy is?
Yeah, let's go to Joshua Kennedy. So Joshua Kennedy won the award as a forward in 2010 and 2011 for Nagoya Grampus. Joshua Kennedy. Looks a little bit like Joe Allen. He's taller than Thomas Meunier, 6'4", now age 40, not playing anymore. Started off at Carlton. Don't know. I presume that's Australia. Then went over to Wolfsburg, Stuttgart Kickers. That's an interesting one. You have a look at, see if you can work out who
there is. Nothing on his page about Stuttgart Kickers. Or as a section, anyway. Let me have a look. Let me read his club career.
Yeah, club career. Then Cologne. So he's sticking around in Germany. It must be another German side, I'm thinking. Dynamo Dresden, again, German. Nuremberg, German. Karlsruhe, German. Then we have a rogue move. He spends the majority of his career at Nagoya Grampus and then goes back to Australia for Melbourne City. So 290 appearances, 92 goals. Not too shabby. Australia youth teams and then Australia national team for 8 years. 36 appearances, 17 goals.
Stuttgart Kickers are a regional fourth division team in Germany.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, and it seems to be quite a common thing, because after just one season, Kennedy left for Cologne. He joined at the time in the Bundesliga. Joined the Bundesliga club 1 FC Cologne. However, he mostly played for their reserve team in the Regionale North, which is the north section of the fourth tier of German football, where he was the club's second top scorer of the season with 9 goals in 23 games. Having just won promotion to the second Bundesliga, Dynamo Dresden were looking for a striker and signed him. This transfer was his fourth in 4 years. It proved to be a vital one in Kennedy's career, as he immediately found a first team spot with the side and played in all of the club's 34 league matches. Again, becoming the second top scorer for the club with 9 goals. So he's not prolific. He's not really prolific. Hmm. But caught my eye right at the beginning. Kennedy is known by Australian fans as Jesus due to his apparent resemblance.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, traditional deceptions of Jesus earlier in his playing career.
So you can see there the 2 seasons he won is in the J League Best 11, 17 goals and 19 goals in the season. Nice. By far and away his most goals ever in a league season. Any honours? Yeah, so won the J League with Nagoya Grampus, won the Cup with FC Nuremberg, the Pokal Cup. We obviously had Meunier winning the Pokal with Dortmund. That may be something we can look at.
Yeah, quite a long way apart, though.
You're telling me it's not useful for players to win the Cup 14 years apart as a way in? Bundesliga Player of the Month, February 2009.
Interesting. Shame that Player of the Month isn't a clickable award.
Oh, that's a good point. I was thinking there might be a long list and we'd be able to click on Mounier, who might have won it. Ah, okay, never mind. International goals, so 17 in total. Who's he scored outside of Europe? Outside of anyone inside Europe?
Netherlands.
Liechtenstein. Liechtenstein and Netherlands.
And Denmark.
And Denmark. Yes. Has he scored in the World Cup?
Josh, I've seen an error. Big one. How had that got through? Against Qatar, apparently he scored for Australia against Qatar in the 2-0-1 FIFA World Cup qualification.
Ooh, disgusting.
Oh, it's all over the place. 2-0-1, 2-0-1.
Oh, someone copied and pasted that first error, didn't they?
Yeah. I assume that's meant to be 2010, right? Because they're being played in 2008, so...
Yeah.
Oh, people, if you're going to put something into Wikipedia, please check spelling and numbers.
Okay, all right, so where do you want to go from here? So, Rotterdam Airport. That's really not that interesting for us there. I feel like we could click on a... Bundesliga is not... Bundesliga is close. Mounier currently plays in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Any players or anything that's been mentioned? I see a player called... Mike Havenaar, who seems like he could be Dutch or Belgian, no?
Potentially thinking, what about a team we don't know much about in the Bundesliga? Or in Germany?
Yes.
Nuremberg, Dynamo Dresden, Wolfsburg, Stuttgart, right, Kickers.
any of them playing currently in the Bundesliga, do we know?
Nuremberg, maybe? Oh, Wolfsburg surely are playing in the Bundesliga.
Yes.
Doesn't help us in with the... You know, the Belgian route we wanted to go.
No, we can go in Wolfsburg.
Should we learn a bit about Wolfsburg? We've not
or
been there before.
Or do you want to go Stuttgart Kickers?
I mean, Stuttgart Kickers is a more of an unknown.
That's why we're going there.
All right.
Stuttgart Kickers is a German association football club that plays in Stuttgart. Obviously founded in 1899 as the Stuttgart Kickers with a C. I presume it's pronounced differently, but I don't know how.
Nicknames.
Ooh, the Blues or the Blue Gods.
Like that.
God, we've gone from Jesus to God.
We have. Yeah, we have.
We must have cottoned onto that. Jesus played for the gods.
Very true.
Five players, past and present. Joshua Kennedy.
Oh, damn it. No, I'm out.
Okay, let's have a look at their current score to see how many have clickable links.
I don't know, but straight away I'm attracted to, that's the wrong word to use for what I'm about to say next, Kevin Dickluber.
Good name, Marcus Obernoster is a lovely name as well, really rolls off the tongue. Head coach, Mustafa Unal, reserve team, as players we don't know. Okay, we knew it was going to be a pretty tough click. All about, okay, we'll go here, coaching history. Anyone we think there might have had anything so... Clickable links. Oh, I don't really know any of them. Oh, yeah, we've basically gone to the German third division, is it?
Fourth division. Fourth division
and gone, yeah, what are we going to know?
Yeah.
I thought someone, is it, do you reckon there's a Wikipedia Wanderers in Germany going, oh, let's try and get to Rhys James and we'll go to, I don't know, Forest Green Rovers, see if we can get there.
Hang on. It's worse than that, Josh. In 2018, they're relegated once more to the Oberliga Baden-Württemberg, which I'm going to then assume is the fifth division of German football, which means it'll be like
non-league.
The Kent League, right? It'll be like Kent. You won't travel outside of your state.
Yes, it'll be a certain area, yeah.
I mean, they're second, though, so they're on their way out.
Yeah, a good side. Don't knock them. Okay, so haven't done an easy route here. We obviously still have the cup. We can still get out clause, the DFB Pokal, go to Dortmund, get to Mounier if we want. Or we can click on any of these five players are linked on their current squad.
You mean like Kevin Dickluber?
Kevin Dickluber is obviously an option.
I don't know. I honestly don't know where we go. DFB Polka is our safe way out, right?
Polka? It's a dance, isn't it?
DFB Polka? How do you pronounce it?
Polka.
Oh yeah, there's no L before the K. Pokal.
Yeah. Okay, I'm happy to click on a player. It could be brilliant, could be nothing. But surely they're going to have played for another club. We can go around the house a little bit, get back to the Pokal and get through there.
Yeah, my worry
is that these are like
they've
really
been called up from the youth team
and they've got like one, they've appeared for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's give it a go, Dave.
Who are we going? Kevin Dickluber or Marcus Ubernesterer? Because they're both great names. Do you want another German or do you want an Austrian?
No, I think the risk could be this German player has played in Germany, but we've got an Austrian, Marcus Obernosterer, has obviously moved somewhere.
Obernosterer.
Yeah, I realise there's another R at the end.
Yeah, it's R.
Let's go to Marcus Obernosterer.
Oh, no.
Marcus Obernosterer. Oh, my God.
We've got some clubs. Wacker Innsbruck for one. So he was bought. He's 32, midfielder. He has played in the third league with Stuttgart 2 in the Austrian League 2 with Wacker Innsbruck. Obviously, currently plays Stuttgart Kickers. Played for Austria under 20s once. That's it. And it's a list of clubs. So we've got Wacker Innsbruck, amateur side, Energy Cottbus. Always liked Energy Cottbus, by the way, as a name. Okay. WSG Wattens, Stuttgart 2. SV Elversberg and Saarbrücken. Okay.
Does WSG Wattens, does that not have a bit of a Belgian twang to it?
Yeah, but
I mean,
seems like
the get out Europe. For me here. Is VfB Stuttgart the second, is like two, because you know you can then go to Stuttgart's first team.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't know.
By the way, listeners, this is what's called going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, and you realise there's no rabbits in there.
Yeah. Well, we're limited to clubs. We have to click on a club.
We do have to click on a club.
Or under Germany under 20s is a clickable link.
I don't mind that. Oh, under 20s. We've discussed under 20s. They're the under 21 B team. Who's going to be in that? You're probably going to have some Norwich player in the under 20s or something, aren't you?
But if it lists everyone in the under 20s, what are the chances that there's a Belgian in there?
Well, no one's going to be a Belgian in German under 20s, are they?
No, sorry, playing in a Belgian league. Sorry, playing in the Belgian league.
They might do. They might also have a bit like fixtures against Belgian under 20s. We can go through that route.
Yeah, come on. Germany under 20s.
Germany under 20s. This is how you get from Yuto Nagatomo to Thomas Meunier. Okay. It's not the worst. So we have the Germany national under 20 football team, controlled by the German FA, obviously. Because there is no under 20 competition at UEFA level, under 20 side generally only played competitive matches when it was qualified for the under 20 World Cup, which is held every 2 years. Okay. So they won that back in the in 1981 in the World Cup, and they didn't qualify for 2023, and they haven't performed one for 5 years.
I'm so excited, Josh. Muskron, Sydney Fried is a 24-year-old playing in Germany under 20 team who plays in Belgium.
Yeah, because this is the current squad is a squad that last played for the
March 2019.
Yeah. Okay, so other players, do we know any of these players?
I feel like I know the name David Otto.
David Otto. We're not going there, but you can explore that in your own time.
Can I...
Jan Christoph Bartels.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Vitaly Janelt. Has he got a strange colour click for you? As if we've been to that hyperlink before?
No, you've just been...
I've just been trying to...
Isn't he... Brentford. Janelt.
He is at Brentford, yeah. So there you go, we know him.
Yeah. Oh, look, in recent call-ups, Nico Schlotterbeck, now of Dortmund.
Oh, I know Gianluca Itter as well, from Football Manager, from Wolfsburg. They've got the Itter brothers, actually.
Okay, so there must be Otto brothers, Yari Otto and David Otto. That's not enough to entice me away from Muskron.
No, I feel like Muskron has to be our next click.
Yeah, Sydney Freed. So we're going to Sydney Freed or we're going to Royal Muskron? Will be known.
He's he might have had loans around Belgium. Club Bruges, and maybe Meunier's mentioned at Club Bruges.
Go there if you want. Sydney Fried?
No, I'm letting you pick this one. I'm letting you pick this one. Are you going to Sydney Fried?
Just going to Moose Gron because...
How? What are you thinking Moose Gron to Thomas Meunier?
Bruges. I'd say we can go to Bruges there.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Moose Gron.
Moose Gron. Oh, it's tiny.
Royal it's a XL. Tiny page.
Oh, no. Royal XL Moose Gron was. Oh, it dissolved this year.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't in the news. Oh, well, I mean, I had big names in their managing, in their technical staff. So, okay, so.
The Impenza brothers.
Yeah, exactly. They went. The team was formed as. It was formed as Royal Moose Gron Perrewells in the spring of 2010 as a result of a merger between bankrupt, oh, that's who I know, Moose Gron and Perrewells. Its current name was adopted in the summer of 2016. Its current name, what would you mean? It doesn't even mention the fact they're now out of business.
Yeah.
But the technical staff manager is Enzo Schifo, big name in Belgian football, and then assistant manager is Emil Impenza, managing director is Mbo Impenza. Now, because of the rules we set ourselves, I can see down here Club Bruges, but we're not allowed to click on those links because they're beneath external links.
True. We're not.
We have to click on something either in their top right summary. So we can click on Belgian Pro League. We can click on, you know, one of the Impenzas.
Did he win a Belgian Cup?
I'll tell you.
Specifically the 2011-2012 Belgian Cup, because that's linked.
2014-2015 Belgian Cup.
Damn it. I mean, I'm getting drawn towards an Impenza.
We've done a lot of flirting with the going into the right place in this episode, haven't we?
We have.
I think we can go to either Belgian Pro League, maybe?
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, all right. Belgian Pro League. Jupiler, Belgian Pro League. The Belgian First Division A... Belgian Pro League, or 1A Pro League, officially the Jupiler Pro League, due to sponsorship reasons with Jupiler, is the top league competition for association football clubs in Belgium. Contested by 18 clubs since the 2020-21 season, reduced to 16 teams from next season onwards.
Mm.
It operates on a system of promotion relegation with the Belgian First Division B.
And Anderlecht, by far and away, the most titles with 34. Then you have Club Bruges, 18. Union Saint Gilloise, 8. Never heard of him. That must have been a thing of the past. And Standard Liège, 10. It's currently ranked 8th in the UEFA rankings as a league. So let's have a look at that. Union Saint-Gilloise. Yeah, their last league title was 1934-35.
All-time top scorers in the Belgian First Division. Albert de Klein leads the way with 377. Joseph Mermans, 339. I'm going to leave it there because I don't recognise any of those names. And there's six other people who I don't know.
So, yeah, Union SG are still competing. Still in that league.
Oh, yeah. They finished second last year. Last season.
Yes,
position.
They did. They were very, very close to winning it. They were leading for like a long time in that season and got pipped by... Club Bruges, I think it was.
But they only
Club Bruges.
Just got promoted back to the Premier League. Result 2021, first in D1B. No mention of Thomas Meunier.
No mention of Thomas Meunier, but we have Club Bruges. And who else he played for? Club Bruges and obviously released by Liège, won't be mentioned there, and Verton. They're not mentioned, I think, because I think they're a bit lower league.
Will he be mentioned in the Club Bruges page?
I mean, he appeared 149 times. He won the league and cup with him in the 14-15-16 season. I think that sounds a good chance.
I think he'll be mentioned as notable players.
Yeah.
Club Bruges will have a notable player section, I think. So
yeah.
Okay.
Quite a nice... Not many people from real South Belgium. There's... Is kind of if you look in the map under members, kind of most of the way down the page on the right hand side, yeah, kind of that southern area is really kind of a forgotten area. Maybe it's similar to us in England. I looked the other day, and I nearest football ground to me in Folkestone is Gillingham, approximately 50 miles away. So I set a, so therefore set a radius of a circle around my point where I live. That is the only club in that 50-mile radius. Granted, half the air is water, so it's going to be tough anyway. But my wife from Burnley, I put the same radius around that point. Guess how many league clubs were in that circle around Burnley?
I mean, I could probably name five straight off the top of my head, so I'll go with 15, 12?
20, 25, I think it was.
Wow, okay.
Think of the options you have there. And God, we're going to be professional footballers if we lived up there, Dave.
Yeah.
Everyone's a professional footballer up there.
I agree.
Okay, so are we going on to Club Bruges? Bruges KV?
Club Bruges, KV. What do you think the KV stands for, do you know?
I don't. I've no idea. No. I'm about to let you tell me.
Okay. Oh my god. It stands for Club Bruges Royal Football Association. Once it's translated.
No. Go on.
What's Club Bruges, Conin Cligeic Voltebol Verenging.
KV.
Yeah, I don't think I did too bad. KV. Yeah. Known as Club Bruges in English, Club Bruges.
I've been to Bruges. Nice. I don't remember seeing the stadium actually, but it's a 29,000-seater Jan Breydel Stadium. Nice. 130 years old. Nicknames: Blue Black, the Club. Is that actually one of the nicknames? Just Club.
Yeah.
FCB, FC Bruges, Boren, or Farmers. Okay. I do quite like the badge. I like that. I like it. Actually, I'm just, more I look at it, the more I like it.
It's similar to like how I feel about Real Madrid's badge. I think the more, when it flashes up, I'm like, oh, I don't really like it. But the more it's there, I'm sort of like, it's quite nice. Yeah, it's quite nice. Yeah.
What about the kits? We've got obviously a kind of Inter Milan-y type home colours. Away, there's something going on there, isn't there?
Bonkers, that.
Yeah.
Absolutely bonkers. History. History has a flowchart, if you're concerned.
First flowchart we've seen on the football club page.
I think it is. I'm not a fan. I don't think it's necessary, to be honest. I like my flowcharts to have like a yes, no, and it that changes if you go. This is just like a loop, as if you could go back in time. But yeah, the club don a black and blue home kit has been traditional through their history. Away from home, they wear a yellow kit, but as of 2021-22 season, the club's current supplier is Macron. Well, one, their away kit isn't yellow, according to the picture. Yeah, odd. Don't know how I feel about that.
We have, in 1890, students from Catholic School of Broeders Zavaranian and the neutral school Koninklijk Athenaeum joined together to form Bruges Football Club. So it's formed by... God, imagine that. You just students at school in 1890, you set up a club and it's still going 132 years later.
That would be cool. On 25th of November 1992, Bruges player Daniel Amakocci became the first goal scorer for the club in the Champions League, scoring the only goal in a 1-0 win over CSKA Moscow.
They appeared in Europe before that, so in the they played Liverpool in the 1976 UEFA Cup final, losing 4-3 in aggregate. And they played them in the 1978 European Cup final at Wembley. They lost. Kenny Dalglish scored. And for Liverpool to win their third European trophy in succession. It was Ernst Happel was leading the club at that point. He left Club Bruges and would lead Netherlands later that summer to the final of the 78 World Cup.
Five players, past or present. Daniel Amakocci, Thomas Meunier.
I'm trying to think of other players I know who have played for Club Bruges rather than just scattergunning Belgians.
Yeah.
Is Yanazai a Bruges youngster?
Dunno. I want to say, didn't Liverpool sign Mignolet?
Or he did played, he returned to them. Didn't Club Bruges play in the Champions League recently, they would have done?
Yeah.
I think he returned and played against them or something like that. I think we saw him in Europe. Yeah.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Oh my, this is one of the longest sections I've ever seen. They basically got every season their results in the league just right here. You can see each season their points they got, any notes. So last notes we see competition ended after 29 matches in 1920 due to COVID pandemic. First team squad, so let's have a look at it. So we have Dennis Odoi, isn't he at Fulham for a little bit.
Yeah.
Noah Lang. Lang. I know Noah Lang.
Sile Larin is a name I know. Canadian forward.
I was watching. Something on Netflix. Flicked off it yesterday, and the Canadian Premier League was on BT Sport. It flashed on, and I didn't know what league it was. It was YRK versus PAC. I was like, I have no idea who this is. And they're playing at something like the Starlight Stadium, I think it was.
Right.
The pitch looks so dry. I was like, is this kind of African football? Like South African, maybe? I honestly didn't know. I had to get the remote and go, oh, it's Canadian Premier League. Didn't know that was being aired on TV.
Simon Mignolet is there. Hans Vanaken, who has been there for years. I remember buying him back in an early Football Manager as a central midfielder, Hans Vanaken.
Roman Yaremchuk, I recognise.
Okay.
Dedrick Boyata of Man City.
Man City. So
out on loan, they've got, lovely, they've got a little Scotsman out on loan.
To Italy.
First team head coach is Carl Hofkins.
Yeah, I have scrolled further down.
And he's also talent coach. He's the same person, isn't that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've scrolled further down, Josh. There isn't a former players.
There isn't even that big a word. There's not even a wordy bit about the history, is there, really? Not too much, is there?
No.
Not enough to warrant the mention of a right-back who scored a few goals.
No.
But we will have honours here. Surely we'll have honours. We'll be able to click on a cup final.
Do we have honours? Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Okay, so we have... So if we click on the Belgian Cup 14-15, which they won,
their last
record.
Their last Belgian Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're clicking on that?
Okay. You just click on that.
All right. Now, we are used to a certain format of cup finals. And is this one...
This is not quite... So we're going to have to click again unless he's scored somewhere else through it. So this is the one which is more of the data and the detail. So rather than not the actual cup final. So we have competition format. So it offers 10 rounds, round 1 to 7, quarters, semis, finals. Different levels of the pyramid coming in. Obviously champions that year, Bruges beating Anderlecht. But then after that we have all of the results, but with no goal scorers. Only when we get to the seventh round, and if we click on show, we will be able to see the goal scorers. So if we click on Club Bruges beat Kortrijk 3-0. So if we show that, so do we have Munier scoring? No, Vasquez, Geroz and Rafaelov score in the quarterfinals. Club Bruges drew 0-0 with Mechelen in the first leg. Second leg, they won 3-2. Did Munier score? No. It was Ullare and Mekele.
And he didn't score in the semi-finals, because I've already looked at them.
Semi-finals, no. We have 5-1 win and then a 3-2 win playing against local rivals Bruges 2. So, therefore, we would need to click on the 2015 Belgian Cup final, which is available. Click.
Have you seen the final result? 2-1. Did you click on show?
Oh, I can see. Oh, is that your friend and mine?
That's my friend and yours, Alexander Mitrovic, 89th minute equaliser.
Yeah.
And then Refalov scoring in the 92nd minute to win it. Let's go and read a bit more about this game.
So we have, just to allay any fears, we have Thomas Meunier there. Pitch. Okay, so 2015 Belgian Cup final, named Cofidis Cup after the sponsor. It was a 60th Cup final. It was the first time the two giants of Belgian football met in the final since 93-94. The match finished in a dramatic way as Anderlecht looked to have taken the game to overtime through a last-minute equaliser from Alexander Mitrovic, cancelling out the earlier goal by Tom de Sutter. However, in added time, Lior Rafaelov struck a goal from outside the penalty area. Nice. Okay, I'm going to have a look at the Bruges side. You talk us through the Anderlecht side. First 11, subs. So we have Matthew Ryan, who I saw playing for, I want to say, FC Copenhagen in the Champions League qualifiers recently.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's in goal. He's been around, actually. That must be a lovely little career he's had there.
Yeah,
I don't really know much else about it. But obviously, that Arsenal stint, Brighton, Bruges. If you trust me, FC Copenhagen. Meunier at right back. Laurens de Bock at left back with Brandon Michele and Oscar Duarte central defence. Jose Iquidero, Ruud Vormer, Timmy Simmons, I remember him. He's an experienced pro there. Rafelov on the wing, or just behind the front man, it looks like. Don't quite know how that really works as a lineup, because it looks like them Bolingoli was playing on the wing and Tom De Sutter up front. Who did you have in your starting 11?
Silvio Proto in goal, remember him?
Yes, Belgian, I remember that, yeah.
Belgian goalkeeper. Maxime Collin started as a... It's a mess here, because it was... They've got a right...
That's wrong. That's an error, isn't it, basically? He's not right wing, he's right back.
Yeah, but then there isn't anyone listed as right wing either.
And in this side, looks like Najjar.
Najjar, in how it's lined it up. Anyway, okay. Silvio Proto in goal. Maxime Collin at right back, who I don't recognise. Rolando at centre back with Olivier Descartes. Or Deschat? I don't know how you'd say that name. I do recognise the name, but...
Yeah.
I've never had to say it. Fabrice Nsekala at left back. Don't recognise that or him. Andy Najjar, Stephen Defoe, Dennis Pratt, and Leander Dindonka.
All three played in the Premier League. So we've got Burnley, Leicester, Wolves, now Aston Villa.
Yeah. Marco Marin and
Mitrovic
all have played in the Premier League as well. So it was Marco Marin playing just behind Alexander Mitrovic, who I think. 2015. No, I think it was before that he won. Alexander Mitrovic won the best young player in the world award in about 2013 or something. Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
not many other names on the bench which jump out to me.
I've got two at Anderlecht. Yuri Tielemans.
Yes.
And Anthony van den Boer.
Oh, nice. Lovely.
Neither of them came on.
managed by Michael Predholm, who's I think it's a goalkeeper for Belgium. Big name.
Yeah.
So big, he's got an apostrophe.
One of the people credited with turning Thomas Meunier into a right back from striker.
There you go.
Anderlecht were managed by Besnik Hassi, an Albanian.
Let's close the loop.
I think we have to, yeah. Go for it, mate.
Thomas Meunier, 6'3", right back, was a striker. Wow. Well, that was roaming, wasn't it?
It was very roaming.
We wanted to educate ourselves, maybe at the detriment of succinctness, but I think I like that. I like learning, like roaming.
What would you have done differently? Where do you think we could have clicked different?
Was it
Stuttgart kickers?
No, probably... I don't know, I liked learning about Endo, but that didn't help us at all. Stuttgart kickers didn't help. I mean, I'm trying to think what clicks did help. Germany under 20s probably was a highlight. Then Mouscron, we needed to go there. That helped, but it wasn't as helpful as I thought it would be.
No.
So, obviously, we started with Yuto Nagatomo, a Japanese fullback, still currently plying his trade. Second in the all-time appearance list for Japan. First was Yoshito Endo, so went there, hoping he'd played in and around Europe. Hadn't only played in the J-League, but he'd been named in the J-League Best 11, which gave us a long list of kind of 18, 19 years of players we thought we've got options here. There's an Australian, won it a couple of times, Joshua Kennedy, also known as Jesus. I thought we'd click him. Yeah, he might have something there. Played in Germany for a bit. Obviously, Meunier, which we were trying to get to, played for Dortmund. So we could, Stuttgart kickers. Who are they? They're a really low league German side. And they've got like five players mentioned in their current squad who have clickable links. So we click on Marcus Obernostra, thinking hopefully he'd played around somewhere, but he hadn't really. But he had played for Austria under 20s once versus Germany under 20s. So we click there. In Germany under 20s, it has current squad, which has actually appeared in 1920. Sidney Freud had played for Mouscron at the time, who we knew were a Belgian club. Were a Belgian club, is actually be more accurate there. They folded this year, but then we have a link to Belgian Pro League, where we obviously take our pick from clubs, and we chose Club Bruges. We know Meunier played there for 5 years of his career. He wasn't mentioned on their page, but we have the 2014-15 Belgian Cup. Didn't quite give us enough details, so we went to the cup final where Bruges beat Anderlecht 2-1. Meunier playing right back, click through. Thank you very much.
In that recap, Josh, what I got out of that was that Joshua Kennedy was the wrong click. I think that's where it all really started.
Yes, I don't think that helped. Yeah. So, you know, looking back at it, we clicked at a Brazilian, Andre Iniesta. Michael Olunga still intrigues me, a Kenyan playing there now. But yeah, we probably could have done a bit better with that click.
Yeah. But it does bring an end to this week's podcast. So thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send in any suggestions you want for Wikipedia pages. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. And from a yawning Josh and from knackered Dave, we'll see you next week. Cheers.